The following program is for mature audiences. Listener discretion is advised. Welcome to another edition of Homelicious.
Ooh. Ooh, sorry, you scared me there.
Wait a minute. What's that sound?
Oh my gosh. Oh.
Oh, what is happening?
Oh. Not that sound.
Well, I know what's happening on your side. Oh my god.
I'm sitting on the dryer again.
Put the washer on spin, honey. Welcome to the Homelicious Halloween Special. It's our Halloween episode, everybody. Happy Halloween.
Hello. Surprise. Happy Halloween, everyone. Happy gay Christmas,
yeah,
essentially.
Yeah.
You're here, you're queer, you're probably wearing flammable polyester.
And so you wear what you have to wear to make the costume comment.
Yeah, just slap it together. I don't care if you have to staple it, glue it, do whatever you can.
And we've got some costume suggestions, you know, for the not very creative. That'll come up.
That's true.
In
yeah.
today's episode. Yeah.
Just as an aside, we should just do one where we talk about creative ones. Just like dumb costume ideas.
That would take some research.
Well, no, just like off the cuff.
Come up with one right now.
All right. You could just be like Joanne Worley. That's a fun one.
Actually, I was in a store and there was a Joanne Worley dress. It was a vintage clothing store.
Oh.
And I screamed, you could be Joanne Worley right now if you just bought this.
All you need is a wig that looked like you slept on it and that floral dress.
Bang.
And all you have to do is yell all night.
Yeah.
I would be Lainey Kazan in anything mm-hmm. in a minute.
Yeah. In a minute.
I like that I'm all these stodgy women.
Sure.
I mean, Carol Channing's a good one. Like between that and Elaine Stritch, that's a good combo where you like almost get the same wig. You like add a hat, different glasses, you take your pants off and you're Elaine Stritch. Mm-hmm. It's like, it's the same.
Yeah, yeah. And you do mashups like, you know, Carol Burnett, Carol Channing.
Oh, I see that.
You know,
yeah.
You mix those up.
That could be fair. Yeah. I mean, you'd lose your voice trying to be Carol Channing and Elaine Stritch.
Oh, yeah. You'd be in the hospital.
Yeah, you'd be dead.
Norma Desmond.
Norma Desmond's a good one. Or you say you're Glenn Close as Norma Desmond, and then you have your friend that you don't like be Patti LuPone as Norma Desmond, and you two just fight all night long.
Oh, that's so good. Yeah, yeah. Dueling Normas.
Or you could be like Andrew Lloyd Spider-Webber, and you just like have a bunch of spiderwebs on you. No, I like shit like that, though, too. Or you could be like, you could be like a werewolf and Patti LuPone, you'd be like Patti LuPine. I don't know. There's it's something there.
There is.
That is
it's,
funny.
It's
to
just
me.
Out there. Maybe people could call in.
Yeah.
So many don't. On today's show, we're going to talk about the very coveted ruby slippers.
Yeah. I mean, talk about Halloween. The best Halloween costume of all time is probably Dorothy from The Wizard of Oz.
Yeah. It's a given.
You're going to see a million of them. It's a fun thing to wear. And you get to wear fabulous shoes.
About 1,000 7-year-olds and about 2,000 gay men.
Right.
You know, it's a given.
Yeah, they've got...
It's going to be there.
They've got the same emotional intelligence. And
they both want to stay up late, you know. And with permission, they can.
Yeah. We're talking costumes.
Of course, because it's the Halloween episode. And we touch on a little nudity. And we'll just leave that right there
yeah.
for you to wonder.
If you can't find anything to wear.
Yeah.
Take it
off. It's also against the law. But other than that...
It's a good rule for Halloween. Well, who the hell are you?
My name is John Rust, and you know what? I don't care if Pluto is a planet. I really don't. This debate has opened up again. I got a questionnaire email asking me to vote on whether I think Pluto should be a planet or not, and I don't care.
Pretty slow news day in your email inbox, huh?
It's sad science.
You know? It's a bunch of sad science and chain emails that if you don't forward to 9 people...
You'll die of a horrible disease. I get this email called Honest Answers.
Okay.
And like, do you sleep clothed or do you sleep in the nude? And then you answer and then it shows how many of the thousands that answered what most people do. Some of those are fun. I mean...
Sure. Are you going to tell me one? Like a fun one?
I just did.
Oh, okay. Well, I do sleep in the nude, but not in my bed.
Sure. It's not an essay. You answer, yes, you sleep in the nude, or no, you don't. Yeah.
Well.
You don't call in with a discussion.
I thought this was Delilah, but it's.
So I don't care if Pluto is a planet or not, because, look, all stars are dead.
Fun.
And it's like, oh, you know, it's like looking at tombstone names in a graveyard. And it makes my head hurt. I don't care about stars. I don't care about planets.
Wow.
I really don't. I'm more concerned about the day-to-day.
Yeah, this is what the autumn of your life will look like, ladies and gentlemen. You don't care about the stars in the sky or Halloween or whatever.
Honestly, do you care about stars and planets?
Yes.
It's hard to care.
Well, it's just like they're so far away and they are just a reminder of our futile existence. That's what I like about stars, is they're just like, none of this means anything. Go be whatever you want for Halloween. It doesn't matter.
Us looking at the stars is like an ant looking at a swimming pool and trying to figure it out. It just does. They're never going to figure it out.
Well, especially the one at Jane Mansfield's house. It was like bright pink. They're like, what the fuck is this?
Well, anyway, yeah, I wish you were me sometimes, because I have the honor of sitting next to one of the most beautiful people in the world. Who is that lovely woman?
That's right. It's me. I'm Elvira's good breast, Latina Turner.
The left bank or the right?
To be fair, both of her breaths are wonderful. And this one,
that's true.
Every Halloween, I, one, watch the movie, and two, do a high kick salute to Elvira's spooky hills,
yeah,
if you will.
Love, love, love our Elvira.
Yeah. We do. Yeah. I need more content. I saw this thing online where they asked Dolly Parton if she'd ever do a Halloween movie with Elvira. And I was like, that is
right,
wonderful.
Right.
That is a Halloween movie I'd like to see made before those two go on into the next realm.
Could happen.
We'll stay tuned. You've got, not you. We've got a fabulous episode. And if we don't, well, we never told you it was going to be good. But we said it would be fabulous.
Right, right. And don't eat in the nude.
We'll try not to.
Latina Turner, I have something very serious to talk to you about.
Oh, ooh, all right. Let me sit down.
Yeah, I know there's a comedy podcast, but it's serious.
Right. And sure.
Halloween is painfully close.
I mean, depending when this comes out, no, it could be hours away.
It could be tonight.
It could be hours left in it.
No, Halloween is painfully close, and a lot of people just are last-minute Lucy's on putting together these outfits and what to do.
I miss last-minute Lucy. She actually died in a fire.
Could barely recognize her, could you?
Well, she somehow looked better. I don't know what it was, but it was like, you know, afterwards I was like, oh, your eyes are like symmetrical now.
Did you get a tan?
Could you go to Boca? But I know. I feel like as kids, you had like a lot of time to prep for Halloween. Like you had a lot of time to think about it. Like as adults, like you like look up and it's like the middle of October and you're like, so
what should we do?
Yeah.
Well, a great Halloween costume requires perfect planning. So much for that. and lots of creativity. So some of our listeners aren't great planners and aren't very creative. So we're here to help today.
That's true. Yeah. Think of this as a masterclass. Oh, this is what our masterclass would be about. Halloween.
Yeah.
Just as a concept of like how to plan for it. Could you imagine?
Yeah. Right. Chapter one, costumes.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. When in doubt, go pop culture.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, if you want something real timely,
yeah,
pick out something that has happened in the last couple of months. I mean, the amount of Barbies we're going to see, like Barbie and Ken's. Yeah,
right,
it's going
to
be a lot.
But you want a costume that doesn't require a lot of explanation.
Right.
You know, oh, look at you. You're peas in a pod. Or, oh, look at you. You know, you're.
Yeah. I don't love those explainer ones. They can be a little tough.
Yeah. You should be able to see it at a glance. And you glance and go, oh, nice try. No, you go, oh, that's nice. That's that's good.
Yeah.
Well, I've got some suggestions for this year, and I'd like to get your reaction to it.
Oh, you know, let's do it. Yeah.
That'd be great. Can expect that this Halloween there will be a million Taylor Swifts.
Yeah. And that's, you know, I feel like every year there's a lot of Taylor Swifts. But this year in particular, there will be plenty.
Right. I guess she wore an iconic t-shirt that said not a lot going on at the moment. And you can buy that iconic t-shirt and carry two bags of cash. And they'll know that you're Taylor Swift. Right. And a silly green fedora and heart-shaped sunglasses,
right,
which you can get
see,
just about anywhere.
Yes.
So there you go. Bang your Taylor Swift. She has... a boyfriend, you know, Travis.
I believe Kalise, you.
Whatever, Travis the jock, anyway, and they're seen together holding hands at whatever. And so you can be Travis and just wear your jersey. I'm trying to think of what team he plays on. Well, he didn't play on my team, or I'm not interested
That's
in
the
it.
Problem, yeah. He's not playing on mine. Yeah, you could wear a soccer ball or a baseball bat or whatever whatever he did. I hope he's like a professional like pickleball player or something.
But. Anyway, so you could be them.
Sure.
It wouldn't be very interesting, but you could.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
What about being Beyonce?
Well,
come on.
Yeah, I think, I mean, Beyonce is an actual style icon, and like she has all these incredible outfits from her tour.
Right, right. I guess there's an iconic silver one, and
yes,
you can kind of bunch up just about any silver formal and make it look like Beyonce.
Glove. I mean, you saw the pictures of people going to that tour, and the prompt was like, wear silver. So like everyone was wearing silver.
There you go.
And they look like the Tin Man convention, but like some people really understood the prompt, other people like took like the, you know, the safety blanket when you're in an accident that they give you.
To stay warm.
Yes. Some people just took that and belted it.
Well,
and you know, look, I love a good quick drag challenge. Like just like find something and put it on. But like you bought these tickets a while ago.
Yeah.
Right? Like,
yeah.
You had time. And thus is the same conundrum as Halloween.
You can make a muumuu by cutting a hole in a piece of fabric and pulling your head through it.
Right.
And so you do that, a quick silver belt, and you're out the door as Beyonce.
Yeah. Find your earthquake kit. I'm sure it has one of those silver blankets in it.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And have a little snack while you're in there, because there's probably some granola bars or whatever. If you're like me, there's...
Yeah, they're 100.
Yeah, they're 100 years old. But I actually put little airplane bottles of booze in mine. Well, you know, I don't know.
Yes, and you should.
I could be trapped.
I put pain pills in there from the last time I had a surgery. And they're expired, but I don't care. I'm taking them. Okay, how about this for a couple? Oppenheimer and Einstein. It's so easy to do Einstein.
I mean, they like weren't a couple, but they're a pair, I guess.
No, but you're a couple and you go right. As a pair.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Now you're starting rumors now about Einstein and Oppenheimer.
Uh-oh.
They were playing with fusion in the back room.
Oh, the bomb went off. I bet it did. Yeah, I guess you would look like two little old men. I feel like you'd walk around looking like you were starring in a local production of Waiting for Godot. You know what I'm saying? Like you,
that's right.
You're like, right. Who are you? And you're like, I'm Einstein. It's like, sure you are.
Right. That one might require explanation. So we'll leave that one off. Yeah. But it's going to show up.
Oh, sure.
It's going to show up this year.
I'm super excited to see all the white girls dressed as the atom bomb. That's going to go over really well. You know.
It's the wires that get in the way, you know.
It's all the smoke, you know. It's the smoke machine you got to bring with you.
So another good idea, and I love this idea, is of course Jennifer Coolidge in White Lotus as Tanya.
Oh, sure.
Because there's a lot of cover up. You see, that's why you can pull it off. The big sunglasses, the blonde wig sticking out, the scarf over the head.
The scarf, the dress. Yeah. I guess kind of low maintenance. You just got to get the wig and like some pink stuff.
Yeah.
Wrap yourself in it.
You know what's frightening is that almost everyone thinks they can impersonate Jennifer Coolidge and they can't.
Yeah. Okay. No, I mean, she's actually tough to impersonate. She's got a really specific inflection that is like not common.
Yeah. Here we go. There's more. You watched the TV show Succession. Did you watch that, the series?
I would put it on as a sleep aid, but no, I've not really seen it. It would just put me right out. But I'm like culturally aware of it.
Yeah, yes. Yeah. Well, in one episode, one of the characters brought a girl to a fundraiser, and everyone in the script made fun of her bag that she was carrying. And so there are people that buy this bag and dress up as her.
Fun.
And that's going to require explanation.
Right, yeah.
But
it was such a big show that like people will probably get that joke.
Yeah.
But it would take some minute because you might just look like a regular old girl.
Right.
With a shitty bag or whatever.
The thing is that they all pointed her at the party and say that she's wearing a ludicrously capricious bag.
Capricious. That's a good word. Beautiful name for a girl.
Yeah. Anyway, the bag is huge. It looks like she's, you know, carpetbagger from the turn of the century. He's going to sell you, you know, snake oil at your front door, or as we like to call it, Avon.
Right.
And And her name is Bridget. So you could wear something that says, hi, I'm Bridget, and carry the big bag.
Yeah.
And you really get away with this.
And that's fine.
Yeah.
So the bag's just big.
It is. It's just a
bag.
Burberry tote, and it's tartan, and it's huge. You could hide a child in it. And so they're making fun of her for having too large of a bag.
Oh, I see.
But anyway, you can get a ripoff of the bag in Canvas online and We'll put a link for that.
She's going to look like the child snatcher from Chitty Chitty Bang Bang, you know?
Exactly. Well, that's true. Well, let's see.
Is it snatcher or catcher? The child catcher? The child snatcher.
Snatch.
What did you call me?
I said you're a snatch, and it's called a child snatcher. Yeah.
I've only ever seen that once, and I think I was like 10 and had a fever.
Yeah.
Well, and like put it on and was just like, I'm never watching this again.
Yes. Well, I went to the musical in London for Chitty Chitty Bang Bang, and that melody, I had to go to therapy to get it out. How about dressing up as Sarah from Cocaine Bear and have your partner dress as a bear and chase you?
See, I didn't see Cocaine Bear.
Well, I know, but millions did.
Good for them.
So Sarah wears a pink blouse and wears it the entire movie, and she's been running from the bear. So you could be Sarah, and you could carry a teddy bear, or your partner could dress as a bear.
I think if you had a little teddy bear and then just like put flour all over it, right, so that it looked like it had gotten into the stash.
Right. Hey, how about we hollow out the bear and then squeeze its stomach and it blows out powder?
That's
like
fun.
Flour,
yeah.
During the party.
Yeah. Try not to go through TSA with it.
But no. Try not.
Yeah. Just take it to the party.
Of course, there'll be 2 million Ariels from The Little Mermaid this year, and there was last year.
Yeah, we've had a lot of big pop culture things happen this year. I mean, if you are feeling like you just want to show up and blow up and just sort of plug and play this year, you can just do Ariel, you can do Barbie, you do Beyonce. Like, there's a lot of things that have happened this year that would make it easy to just like, okay, I'm just going to be this and that's that.
Okay, so there's a sci-fi thing, Loki is the name of it, and it's in the world of the superhero universe. I think it's on the Disney Channel. I don't know. Anyway, and he wears brown overalls.
Okay.
And you're going to look like a janitor.
Are you like a depressed Mario brother? I'm good.
The Mario brother that works in the sewer.
Right. Oh, the bookkeeping one. That's no fun.
No, he's a sleeper. So there was a horror movie called Saw X that was out this year.
Oh, sure.
And there was a character named Jigsaw.
Yeah. Yeah. This is the 10th movie they've made of Saw, right, at this point.
And he's white with what looks like two Target bags on his cheekbones. Yeah, you could make that.
Just a little paper mache and you're there.
Put the little targets on your cheeks.
Yeah.
They'd know immediately who you are.
Yeah.
Red bow tie. Yeah. Get one of your mom's or your neighbor's shake and go wigs and shake it, you know? Now, if I were a teenage girl,
again,
I would be Wednesday Addams this year.
Oh, yeah. And that's, you know, that's a good standby if you're like that age. That's a perfect, like, get some braids, get a wig, get a black dress. You're there.
Yeah.
It is not tough to do that one. And it's fun. You don't have to smile.
No.
You just kind of look dour all night.
No, you just be pouty.
Yeah, I do that every other night of the year. So,
Colleen Atwood did the wardrobe for the film and the intricacy of great little inlaid patterns and stuff. If you knew how to sew, you could take one of those little black dresses and you could really Wednesday it up.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Yeah, just put a little lace in there. Yeah. Put a little collar on it. Yeah, you're in business.
Yeah, and you get the black pigtails that you've had on standby from your Indian outfit you have,
right,
which is politically totally incorrect, but you have it because
you've
done it in past Thanksgivings. Yeah.
In past lives, yeah. Go ahead.
Try and explain that at the party. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, good luck.
And then you need some platform Mary Janes, which are all the rage now. Kids are wearing them like crazy. So those are easy to get. And you glue a hand on your shoulder and the thing is there with you.
Oh, see, that's a good detail. You find a disembodied hand.
Yeah. Oh, they're a dime a dozen. I mean, this time of year.
Oh, sure.
Some of them are plastic, you know. So there was a remake of Grease, Rise of the Pink Ladies, which was unwatchable.
I did not bother.
Oh, my God. It's painful rectal itch. And so you can be a pink lady this year. Easy. Pink jacket, pink lady, short bobbed wig, high-waisted leggings. Bam, you're a pink lady.
I think the joke there, though, is you have to be like 50 so that you look like the original.
Pink ladies today.
Pink ladies today. No, I mean, like, they were like easily 30, 35, pushing 40.
Yeah.
Like, these people were not young people. Like,
No.
It's like meant to be the 50s and they look like they were like former suffragettes. Like.
But let's cast a wide net. Anybody can be a pink lady.
Mm-hmm.
any gender,
oh, yeah,
anybody. You put on some cat eye sunglasses and a pink jacket,
you're
and
there.
Boom,
bam,
you're gonna get laid.
Beauty school dropout.
It's so easy. Yeah, yeah. Hey, here's a fun idea. The creator of the TV show Abbott Elementary.
People are gonna be Quinta Brunson for Halloween, or her character from Abbott Elementary.
No, they're gonna be her character. Is it Janine?
Oh.
Yeah,
Janine.
Yeah.
And that's funny.
And you wear a lanyard, and it says Abbott Elementary, and get a reproduction of her little plaid skirts and. Yeah. Turtlenecks. Everybody's got a lanyard from something, you know. So just go to the Color Xerox and glue Abbott Elementary
go
on
to
it.
The Color Xerox.
Bang, you're good.
What day? What year are you in? And I love that. It's like, well, fax it to your girl first, and then Jesus.
Now stop. Oh, I guess there are color printers, huh?
Yeah. Oh, God bless you, though. You know.
Yeah.
Oh, John's. Yeah. You know, from a different Halloween time.
Yeah. Hey, how about Evelyn from Everything Everywhere All at Once? You bloody your lip and you put an eyeball in the center and you bang,
yeah.
You're good to go.
And that's it. Yeah, you just carry a bag of laundry around with you.
Get a Yoko Ono wig and you slap it on the top of your head and
it's
you're
just
good.
A black wig.
Okay. Okay, let me retake that. You just slap a black wig on your head, stick a third eye in the center, bloody your nose and your lip.
I'm Evelyn, and just walk away. But here's the thing. As a homosexual, I'm not going to say every homosexual is the most creative person I've ever met, because, look, even homosexuals are allowed to just phone it in.
Yeah.
But a lot of gay guys or gay folks at the party, they think about it. We like Halloween. That's the point.
Try harder.
So, yeah. So I don't ever get a lot of just like slapped together Halloween costumes.
Right. That's the straight. The straight world.
Yeah, that's the straight word. Well, yeah, there's a lot of Barbie and Kens out there this year. But even that, like, sure, you can buy, you know, the Amazon outfits that match or whatever. But
you're challenging. You're throwing down a challenge.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. There's some really creative outfits from Barbie that people could do.
Yeah.
You know, you'd have to make these costumes, but they're fabulous, fabulous, fabulous.
Sure. Well, Cochrane Ken is, you know, in the credits of Barbie.
Oh, sure. Oh,
and
yeah.
That would be the costume. Get your straight boyfriend to put that on.
Oh, sure.
You know, and see if you can find him at the party.
Yeah, and you can just be like pregnant Midge. That'd be funny.
And pregnant Midge, yeah.
Yeah.
And keep wondering where he was and say it's not his. So there's a TV show called Euphoria.
Yes.
And this lead character named Maddie, and she has got what every teenage girl and every drag queen wants to wear, a simple black dress with a teardrop cut out on the chest.
Yeah.
It is easy to do.
It is, yeah.
But you can get a necklace that says Maddie.
Fun.
Yeah.
Are people this lazy? Really? Are they? I guess they are.
Okay, I got a good one for you. Boys or girls, but mostly drag queens. Rihanna from the Super Bowl. Pregnant and a red jumpsuit that looks like she's a construction worker. Come on.
Yeah, she looks like one of the village people.
The one we cut. Easy to do.
Anyway, who cares? Put something on, okay? Don't be that person that goes to a Halloween party and is just like, you know what's fun? Just a sheet ghost. Sheet ghosts are not done anymore, and they're fabulous. Cut two little holes in a nice white sheet, and you're done.
I think you should jazz it up, though. I think you could put earrings on the outside. They could hang off the ears of the sheet ghost. You could put a necklace.
I've done this. I was just a lady ghost, and it was a sheet ghost, and I had a purse, and I was wearing heels, and I was wearing a little beret, and I put a beauty mark
there. It is
right under the eyes. That was it.
What'd you do for Halloween?
Yeah.
Oh, this. I was thinking this is Sunday afternoon brunch or something. Well, I had a lot of adjectives. One Halloween, I was a punk rock witch.
Oh, wow.
And
oh,
so
okay. Sorry,
it was a witch that was in love with punk, because punk was new then. Okay. If you can imagine. Yeah. And so, you know, she had like a punk wig, but the boobs were grapefruits. And I had put giant safety pins through them because she's punk rock, right? Right. That's the good news. The bad news is the boobs leaked during the night and I smelt like a fruit salad.
Yeah, but you made palomas. That's fun.
I was making palomas in my shirt,
which is the name of my book.
I think I made a paloma in my shirt. I'll tell you who we're going to be. And I want to be.
Young again.
Hung.
Thank you.
Tina Turner.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
What's on your mind?
What's on your mind?
Glad you asked. So since it's Halloween themed, I actually saw this past weekend, I saw an ad for like a local magic act, like a magic show that was happening at like a bar, like a club or something. It was while we were in Palm Springs.
Oh, please. Yes.
Oh, no. It has, I think, the best name I've ever seen on anything. It was this like old woman, a Palm Springs woman who she puts her rouge on with her fist, you know. And the show, I hand to God, is called Abracadabra. It's called Abracadabra. I peed my pants a little. I was laughing so hard outside in public.
Right.
Abracadabra.
Right, right.
I was like, this is wonderful. Of course, I didn't go because it didn't align with my drinking. But
yeah.
I was like, I'm like, she's probably been doing this for like 100 years or something.
Yeah. But, yeah. I'm going.
Sure. So is there a group rate? Can we take a bus? Like, let's all go to Abracadabra.
Right, right.
But you know, magic has like up close magic or whatever. Like, you know, like magic acts hasn't really had like the renaissance that a lot of other old timey things have. Like,
right,
not
right.
ever looped back around to cool. Mm-hmm. Like, there's a couple things from like the just like magic acts, dinner theater. Like, there's just like things that like didn't come back.
Well, I think magic acts, first of all, are performed usually by magicians, and magicians are odd.
They're odd ducks.
They're just
it's
odd.
It's like the kind of people that play an organ.
No, accordion.
Accordion people. Yeah. Accordion people, yeah. Organ people, magic people.
Mm-hmm. I'm told there's an accordion convention that you can go to where thousands of people play the same song at the same time.
Can you imagine?
No.
I mean, one accordion
no.
is kind of austere on the ears, but...
One accordion's unfortunate. Two accordions should be illegal.
Yeah, but that many accordions trying to play like Wind Beneath My Wings or whatever. Yeah. Like I that sounds
it's gotta just be Cacophony. That's the name of the show.
Cacophony. A beautiful name for a girl.
Where's little Cacophony?
Right, you call her cock. I guess magic's never been cool. I don't really have a thing against magic. I think it's actually kind of impressive. Obviously, none of it's real.
Well, what do you think? It's witchcraft? What do you mean real?
Well, I like the idea that your brain can't immediately figure out how it's done. You know it's not real.
Right.
But
right.
You're like, I don't know how they do this. I think that's impressive. But you have someone who put together a sign that says Abracadabra and thought it was a good idea. And you're like, hey.
No, that's genius. That and they didn't get their own joke. We get it. They think it's clever.
I don't think they know it's funny.
No.
Or they don't know how funny it is, but it's
I'm definitely going. I wanted to be a magician when I was a kid, and so when my parents had guests over, I would do a magic act, whether they wanted it or not. I would make the guests and my parents come into a room that was preset with folding chairs. And
you put on the cast recording of Pippin just to get him in the mood, you know.
Hadn't been recorded yet. But anyway...
Well, she had magic, but she hadn't done it yet.
Right. It was an act that would have worked at the blind school because, you know, they couldn't have seen what I was doing. I think your card's in this deck somewhere. Ta-da! Okay. So I did this act where I would ask someone in the audience for a large bill.
And so a tall William stands up.
Right. And I was so young that it was $5. No. So my dad would have a large bill in his wallet and offer up the bill. And it would be a real bill. And it would be...
Oh, so he's part of the act.
Yes and no. He's like the lovely Artie Darnell, you know, the woman in the one-piece swimming suit that's handing the props, you know?
Right, right. Oh, I see.
Yeah. So he would give me a $100 bill. And my mother would carry on like it was all. And I would fold the $100 bill up, put it in an envelope, go over to a candle, light it on fire, and it would burn to bits. And then I would act like the trick went wrong. And my parents would, oh my God, and carry on and carry on and carry on. And then I would accuse someone in the audience, and I would have palmed the $100 bill, and I go get it from behind her wig. I'd find the woman with the biggest hair.
You pull them out of one of the spit curls, you know?
Right. And that was fine, except the night I burned the $100 bill because I thought I got it out of the envelope and I didn't.
Oh.
And my parents are carrying on and I go, yeah, sorry. And I walked away and they were like, and
this is intermission. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I had a rabbit too that was hidden in the lining of a tux coat. And during the first number, he peed and all the pee came out in the front of the coat and humiliated me. And so the magic career was short lived.
Short-lived.
But it was good.
Short-lived.
It had more banter than trick, you know?
Well, that just explains a lot. Let's just say that.
Why I've never stopped talking since I was 7.
Ta-da! It's just not ever going to be cool. But you have things like the Magic Castle that people try to tear down the door to go in. And you're just like, okay, I guess it's like always been cool, but always not been cool. I don't know.
Right, right. We were members of the Magic Castle, and you have to be invited by a member to be a member.
Yeah.
And the guy that invited me, I didn't like at all. But the guy that invited him was one of the Sherman brothers of Sherman and Sherman from the Disney composer team. So I just lie and tell people that one of the Sherman brothers got me in the castle. Because it was one person away.
See, that's good magic. Ta-da!
No magician tells the truth.
At some point, I would like to know how they're all done. I know that's kind of against the rules, is you're not supposed to ever know.
Yeah.
You'll still the act. But
well, even when you know, you can still appreciate it. I know how a gymnast does a thing. I just can't do it.
Exactly. Yeah, I don't think I would like take up magic late in life. But
why not?
Well, why the hell not? I already have all those capes. The hell else am I going to do with them?
That's the thing, is my parents, you know, like they glued onto anything I liked and just kept buying me, you know. So my mother made me a cape, which looked like Dracula. I don't understand that. You know, and she didn't make it right.
There's a fine line between the two.
Well, yeah, but she didn't make it right because a magician's cape needs pockets and things in it that are unseen, you know, because there's things in it.
Oh, that's right.
And
that's
so I wore it as Dracula for Halloween, and that worked.
I mean, you could turn it around and be Mrs. Roper, you know. It was floral. It was floral print, magic cape.
It was sheer.
It was sheer.
Which was weird.
Which was nice. Because I was naked.
Right. And you could see my hand reaching into my pocket in it. So that just fucked up the whole magic act. And so anyway, my last trip to the Magic Castle, Kevin and I got drunk with June Lockhart at the bar.
You know, about every 5 episodes or so, you talk about June Lockhart.
No, I've never talked about
June. Yes, you have. So funny.
That's my only encounter with June Lockhart.
Lost in Space.
Lassie's mother.
A Christmas Carol.
Well, no, yeah, Christmas. Okay, never mind.
Right?
You're right.
Shut up. You talked about like June Lockhart so goddamn much.
Because her real parents are the Cratchits, and she's a Cratchit kid. Yeah. See, I find that magical.
That's magic, ladies and gentlemen. I can talk about Joyce DeWitt, and you can talk about June Lockhart at the drop of a hat. Magic, everyone. Ta-da!
If I had a movie that I acted in and both my parents played my parents, I would think that's pretty amazing.
Yeah. I mean, I can see why a lot of...
I can't think of anyone else.
I mean, like the Stillers have done it.
That's true. Or maybe the Judy Garland Christmas special.
Well, one of their parents. Yeah, I don't think they invited Sid Luft to come sing. But. Hey, John. What's on your mind?
What's on your mind?
I've got something on my mind, and it just occurred to me the other day. You know, I don't have that toilet tush that washes you.
You don't have a tushy yet?
No, not yet. I'm old school, and we use body wipes.
You just go out in the yard.
We use a corn cob, you know. And because what else do you do with those old corn cobs?
Well, it's fun, too, because it's like you're putting the corn back on it, you know.
You really are. And actually, that's where the expression cornhole comes from people wiping their butt with corn cobs.
That's not real, is it?
Yeah, that's real.
You're kidding.
I'm not kidding. In the outhouse, there'd be a bucket of corn cobs.
That is foul. Oh, God, I'm never having corn again.
Well, what else do you do with them?
I don't know. You'd feed them to the hogs or something. Like, you don't have to wipe your ass with them.
What else are you going to wipe your ass with in the outhouse?
I don't know how people did anything back then. I'm sure they just used their hand. Or they didn't. Yeah.
On a ship, you would go to the front of the ship where the water splashed, and you would hang your ass out and you'd wash your butt. And the ocean would like squirt, and you would
there'd
be a hole.
Would squirt.
You know, because the front of the ship, and so
yes, I know how ships work in the ocean. I'm trying to imagine someone hanging their bare ass off of a boat to crab.
No, there's a hole. You go in the bottom in under the there's a hole. Open the hole and you stick your ass out and wash, and then close it.
Oh no, I thought you were up at the top. You know where the woman is
on Titanic.
Yeah. I thought you were just at that point at the top.
Yeah,
just like holding on and shitting.
No,
it's like a porthole below.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, mm-hmm. That's pretty ingenious.
Yeah.
But back to your corn cob problem.
No, not my corn cob problem. My wipes. Okay. So it occurred to me that it is creepy that on the wipes are characters. I mean, the wipes have Mickey Mouse heads on them. And so you're cleaning your butt with Mickey Mouse.
Oh, yeah. They're covered in crap.
This doesn't seem right.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
I mean, everyone at Disney does the same thing. They're wiping their ass with Mickey Mouse right now, you know? Like,
no, I know, but it just seems like it's disrespectful.
You want to talk about disrespect? Get a tushy, John. Those things are not meant to be down in the sewers anymore.
No.
They say flushable, but they don't say, like, breakdownable.
We don't flush them.
Oh, good. You just throw them out in the yard with the corn cob.
No, I hang them out to dry and then...
Even better, get a tushy.
Okay.
I hope there are sponsors for this episode. But no, we got one years ago, and I am so disappointed when I go somewhere and they don't have one, like a hotel or an Airbnb.
Yeah, like you were at the hotel this weekend. Nobody had them.
Yeah. Oh, no. Or you go to an Airbnb, and that is how you know that gay men own a place. One, it's all well-appointed and fucking organized. And two,
listen,
there are bidets in every single toilet. That's how you know.
I'm just going to make an observation.
Mm-hmm.
You talk about washing your ass with your tushy more than I talk about June Lockhart.
Well.
So, let's just say it's a reoccurring theme for both of us.
Oh, yeah. I know. But it's just so, it's so fantastic. I cannot recommend it more.
Well, this morning I was thinking, when I looked down and Mickey Mouse was on the wipe, and I thought they could be more clever. And I thought maybe politicians that you don't like.
Oh, sure.
That, you know, we could put their face and then do that to them.
Oh, yeah.
The best one I thought of this morning, and you got to go with me on this, was a Scooby-Doo for your poo-poo. And that could be their marketing. Scooby-Doo-Doo.
Yeah, I want mine to just be Nancy Reagan. That'd be great. This one's for you, Nance.
So I know every year you're worried about Christmas creep, you know, and that's the phenomenon where Christmas decorations start arriving early.
Like July.
Yeah. And you freak out. So don't freak out, because here's how to avoid Christmas creep. No, Christmas creep, that's when the hot water tanks overflow. No, Christmas creep is what's in the way. So Christmas is just around the corner, and I ran into something. Now, I know that you have no aversity to being nude.
Well, it depends. But yeah, it's
mm-hmm. Yeah. Nude yoga, that's fine.
Yes.
Nude beach, mm-hmm. That's fine.
Let's do it.
Nude pantyhose,
well,
love them.
Yeah.
You know, because it hides all this, all the imperfections.
My original drag name was Vera Kosvain, so...
There it is.
You can see that the pantyhose do God's work.
It hides it all. But here's my question. Should you do everything in the nude?
Well...
And before you answer that, I found something unusual, and I want to share it with you. It is called the food experience, spelled F-U-D-E.
Uh-huh.
And it is international. It's traveling the world. It'll be in New York City and London and Paris, but it'll be in Los Angeles just in time for Christmas.
Uh-huh.
And what is the food experience? And there's an umlaut over the U, so food.
I see.
Yeah.
Food.
Yeah, food. So what this is a liberating space that is created to celebrate your pure self through plant-based cooking, art, nudity, and self-love.
Huh. That's a lot of words.
It is a lot of words. What this is a full gourmet dining experience at a location that's over-decorated with amazing china and silver and linens, and everybody is nude.
Oh.
And they believe that through this vulnerability and this expansion, they haven't seen expansion. Wait till I'm sitting on the cushion.
Yeah, let me bend over first. But
they find their truest selves.
Huh.
Yeah.
Eating while nude is not something that I...
No.
I don't know.
There's crumbs. There's so...
Yeah, damn. Jellies. Curries. It's very like you kind of lose me at food. There's a lot of activities I like to do naked, most of them lying down, but a lot of them, like, it doesn't ask a lot of me.
Right.
Like, going to the beach or whatever. Like, I'm just naked in the wind.
Well, it feels good. It feels good at the beach.
Sure. Yeah.
We're not nude shaming at all.
Not at all. Oh, no.
Because, you know, this modesty and decency, morality, all that can just, you know, bite me. It has nothing to do with that. It has to do with practicality, you know, for me. And would I enjoy the gourmet dinner?
I mean, God forbid there's any mirrors in this place. Like, the last thing I want to do is, like, see me naked eating ham. Like, that's not...
I don't want to watch myself eat dressed. So I sure as hell don't want to watch myself eat naked. Sure. Yeah, yeah.
You're naked. Yeah, and now, like, the point of drag is that I'm supposed to put a bunch of shit on.
Right. Right.
I need to put the dressing and the padding and all, you know, all that.
Right.
Without that, I just look like Sal Mineo in a wig.
Exactly. And the art of Latina is more on, not less off. You know, that's for later.
Right.
Yeah, that's for... And not everything comes off, by the way. There's,
oh, no.
There's just some vents.
There's
zippers.
Yeah, it's just sort of like, it's like a peekaboo dress, but the wig stays on.
More peek than boo, but there's laces to go. Well,
well, depending on the month, there's a little boo, you know.
Could be.
It's because it's Halloween.
Latina, I think we should offer advice for people that are going to go to this nude event.
Yeah.
We should brainstorm some ideas.
Yeah. This nudie, foodie, eventudie. Why don't you start?
So there's a polite way of saying, pardon me, your nuts are resting on my cold cuts.
I was thinking, like, I ordered dim sum. It implied there'd be a little mystery, but not everything. You know, it's some, you know, just not all of it.
Don't put your wee-wee by my bree-bree.
Well, because I know they do this on, like, nude cruises or whatever, but there's, like, buffets.
Right.
Now, I can go on a whole tirade about buffets in general, which I think we have, you know, at some point, but a naked buffet sounds very precarious to me. Like that meat carving station. Jesus. Like, I don't want to be naked near that knife.
Stay away.
Yeah.
Yeah. Leave your plate.
Don't just...
And come back later.
Jesus.
When that guy's slicing the roast beef. Yeah. Because he's slinging that bloody meat. No, no, no.
Or like the omelet bar.
No.
There's like eggs splashing everywhere. Whenever. Yeah. No, I'm good.
The great part about the nude buffet is you could kind of watch everybody walk around nude. That could be kind of fun.
But again, I'm hungry.
This thing, you just sit down at a dinner.
Well, I guess it's more about community, which, like, I get a naked hangout.
Right, right. I don't want your tallywhacker on my cracker. Get your tits off my grits. No, it really is. Pardon me, but I think your nutsack is in my cognac. So I guess one of the most iconic Halloween costumes every year is like the Marilyn Monroe dress.
Mm-hmm.
Or
From the 7 Year Itch, the white one. Yeah, mm-hmm, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So when you think of Halloween, you probably think of movie iconic costume pieces.
Oh, sure. Yeah. And those are timeless. Those are great.
Well, like the bowler hat of Charlie Chaplin.
You could have that bowler hat and then just, like, if you have two parties, look, here's a fun tip for you gals and ghouls at home. If you have a bowler hat, you can be Charlie Chaplin one night, and the next night you're Diane Keaton.
Oh, there you go. Put some gloves on and you're Diane Keaton.
Yeah.
A slightly less thick mustache and and you're out the door.
Mustache if you want.
They both work.
Yeah. I love shit like that.
But I guess there's a phenomenon that the Wizard of Oz has been a perpetual Halloween reproduction.
Dorothy?
All of them.
Oh, sure. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
A great group costume. If you have a group, you'd all be everybody.
Right. Which brings up the lure, the legend, and the history of the ruby slippers.
Yeah, the most enviable shoes on earth.
They truly are.
If you're a little gay boy, at least.
Mm-hmm. I did some research, unlike other segments in our show.
Finally.
Yeah. If you go to the Smithsonian, there is a pair of ruby slippers. And on the slippers, it says, the ruby slippers were worn by Judy Garland, Frances Gum in the 1939 MGM film, The Wizard of Oz.
Right.
The question is, are those the slippers that she wore? So that's been a debate for a really long time, because if you look at the lining of the two shoes, the lining is different.
Like shoe to shoe?
And the size is different.
Don't match.
The two shoes that are in the Smithsonian, yeah.
Oh.
The lining doesn't match, and the shoe size doesn't match.
It's like a size 12 shoe. You know?
Yeah. For
she
me.
She was 4'11", but she had water skis as feet.
So Judy wore a 5, that was a size 5 shoe. And so
God, she was a little late.
People who have the ruby slippers that have the size 5 in them are screaming, I have the authentic shoes, you don't have the authentic shoes. But I have the answer to this mystery for you today why there are so many people that claim to have the actual ruby slippers and who has them and who doesn't have them.
Right. Okay. But let's hear it.
We all know the reason why they're ruby slippers, because in the books they are not. They are the silver slippers.
They're silver.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah. They're silver slippers. And MGM.
Because of Technicolor. Yeah.
Right. Right. They actually, he's quoted of saying, I'm not doing black and white shoes in a movie that I'm spending $3 million on to make in color.
There you go.
So,
sounds like a gay man to me.
In an early script, it still says the silver slippers and is later changed to the ruby slippers after he makes this comment about making a movie in color, right?
But also, like, great writing, great branding. Just as a quick pause,
mm-hmm.
The word ruby is perfect. I've never stopped to think about that.
Yeah. Well, first of all, yeah, Frank Elbaum is making a comment about capitalism in the silver slippers. It is a monetary exchange and the greed and the power of it. That's what he's making the statement about. So we throw all that out the window just to get some red shoes in this movie.
And MGM's having none of that. They're like...
they didn't give a shit about that.
Not Louis B. Mayer. He's like, make them red.
So there is a gentleman that works at MGM. He is a costume designer, but mostly a costumer. And his name is Kent Warner.
Okay.
And Kent finds in the costume department at MGM a pair of ruby slippers wrapped in a Turkish towel. Along with the slippers, he finds another pair of Judy Garland shoes that were the Arabian slippers that were at one time designed and were rejected. They were like the Munchkin clothing.
They're
curled in the back and stuff like that.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
And the designer of the film is Adrian, you know, one of the most famous designers of the time. And Adrian nixed the Arabian slippers and said, no, I need a standard shoe that we do.
A good character shoe for her to run in for most of the film. Yeah.
And so there are slippers that have felt on the bottom, because when they were rolling sound and she was walking on plywood, they wanted it not to sound like plywood. They wanted it to sound like the yellow brick road, which was made of plywood. So there's a pair made just for when she's walking on the road.
I did not know that.
And that's the ones with the felt bottoms on them.
That'd be the name of my gay puppet show, Felt Bottoms.
The Felt Bottom Review. Warner, this Kent Warner, is, like many people who work in the costume industry, takes home costumes and has parties at his house and will show a film and then present what he's found, a famous dress, and he would wear them sometimes.
Yeah. Well.
Anyway, this one pair of ruby slippers he had on display in his home were the pair that was only used for close-ups.
Oh, the good pair.
No dancing in them. It was the click your heels shot, and it was the first reveal when she does the pose.
Oh, I love, that's my favorite shot in the whole movie.
She does
gay feet. They're like, she's like, oh, these things? And she like points her toe. It is fabulous.
So these are a pristine pair that are only for that. And this Kent Warner has them. And he sells them in an auction later on. Okay. And so someone has those. So the reason why there's some in size 5 and the reason why there's some in size 6 is shooting in those days were 12 and 14 hours a day. And so in the dance numbers, Judy's feet would swell. So as the shoes became too tight, she would go to the size 6 because the day was so long and she'd been standing all day long. So Adrian makes a size 6 set for that. Then they make a dancing set because when she is dancing, the fake rubies are popping off the bow on the front and are constantly replaced. So someone has a set with replacement rubies that this old costumer said she was on the set constantly fixing the bow. That between takes would glue another fake ruby.
Her whole job.
Yeah, because it would they wouldn't stay on. They wouldn't stay on. So you know the base of the shoe is red sequins. And the bows are made from, you know, glass, fake jewels. So the set at the Smithsonian is one dance shoe and one walking shoe.
Oh, wow.
And that's why they don't match. And in the dance shoe, there's extra support in the heel so you don't get a blister. So there were six pair of shoes in total made with all the combination that we just explained, and everybody fighting over who's got the most authentic.
Who's got what?
Yeah, the most authentic pair of shoes. But whatever.
I know that Debbie Reynolds had a pair in her big collection.
She bought the Arabian slippers, and she bought the pair once owned by Kent Warner.
She had the good pair then, like the real, like the nice close-up pair.
She did, yeah.
Nice. So though, like, that must all live somewhere now, because I know they had the big auction after she died.
Right.
She being Debbie Reynolds. I actually think, did it go to the Academy Museum?
Well, I don't know, but I'm going to go down there, and I'm going to look, and I'm going to see what size they are, and if there's felt on the bottom, and if there's the dance support in the back, and I'm going to be able to hold court right there.
Right there.
And explain what I just did to you about the ruby slippers.
And all of our listeners will be able to do the same.
They really will. Yeah. I need to give credit to a man named Rhys Thomas, who wrote this amazing article. We'll put it in the show notes below.
Oh, yeah.
You can learn all about the ruby slippers, the fighting, the bidding, all the drama.
And that's just Debbie Reynolds. Yeah.
Debbie in her dressing room. Well, that concludes another episode of Homelicious, the Halloween special.
I know. I don't know that it was... I think special's a stretch, but... but it was something. No, it was fun. I love this every year. It's fun to just put on, like, just an old repurposed wig. And...
You know, when I was a kid, there were only prepackaged costumes. And if you didn't buy a prepackaged one, you were looked at as being poor.
Yeah, it was too, like, homespun.
Yeah.
Yeah, and now it's done the reverse.
Yeah, it's the opposite.
You get the prepackaged one, you're lazy.
Yeah. We always thought it was kind of like, if you were poor, you'd make a costume. And if you were wealthy, you'd go down to the Five and Dime and get a prepackaged one.
To Woolworth.
Or the Cornet store was ours.
That's just where they sold the corn for your bidet or whatever.
A corn for the outhouse. No, and you get a prepackaged one, and it was something very trendy, like, you know, a cartoon character, you know, Betty Boop or Popeye or,
you know. Jesus, how old are you? Current things like Betty Boop or, you know, Tom Thumb.
Peter Pan,
yeah. Oh, who played Peter Pan?
Mary Martin.
Yeah, you're like... supposed to be for Halloween. I'm like, I'm Mary Martin. That's how gay I was.
Yeah.
I wasn't Peter Pan. I was Mary Martin as Peter Pan.
Or Captain Hook. That's a good package costume.
Well, yeah. Captain Hook had the heels. I wanted to be Captain Hook 1 year because he had heel shoes.
Right.
And the wig and the hat. I mean, that was drag.
Right. But he was missing a hand. So, you know, that was messy at the urinal.
No, you just hold it with the hook, you know? You just
pretend like you're getting a handy from a robot.
Yeah. You know? Speaking of June Lockhart. Jesus.
Homelicious, the Odd Pod, is intended for entertainment purposes only. Please download and subscribe. The views expressed by the hosts and their guests are all their own. If you'd like to send us compliments, or praise, or nude photos, feel free to contact us at homeliciouspod@gmail.com. Thanks for listening.